3, 2, 1, and you're live.
Aloha, everybody. This is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio, and this is May 19th, 2017, and boy, do I have a real special treat for you tonight. You guys have been doing so much awesome light work that I have to honor you all, and I'm giving you the night off. So I have found this incredible couple, Sandy and Richard Riccardi, and they do progressive parody and comedy cabaret. And Rosie O'Donnell calls them her favorite new singing songwriting team. And I'll tell you, when I heard some of their songs, I just laughed my ass off. I know you guys are there, so just let me brag about you a little bit more before I bring you on, okay? With well over 12 million views on social media, Sandy and Richard's unique juxtaposition of modern progressive political and socio-relevant lyrics and tune-smithy jazz piano vocal arrangement will charm your socks off. I mean, they are really, 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 really awesome. So welcome, Sandy and Richard Riccardi. Thank you so much for coming on my show tonight.
Thank you, Kathy. We're thrilled.
How did you guys get started writing political parody?
Oh, I'll let you speak to
you
that.
Want me to talk?
Yes.
Well, I'm a hockey mom. My kids play hockey. One of them very religiously. And so when Sarah Palin came on the scene in 2008 saying she was talking for all the hockey moms, speaking for the hockey moms, I was like, no, don't speak for me, Sarah Palin, because I didn't agree with anything that she was standing for or her platform. And so I kept saying, don't speak for me, Sarah Palin, don't speak for me, Sarah Palin. And pretty soon it was just like, don't speak for me, Sarah Palin. The truth is I do not like you. And so I came home from it. I think I rode it on the exercise bike at the gym, and I brought it home. I said, Richard, can you please play this for me? And he said, what key? And we figured out a key and put it on this crappy little Canon camera that had made me sound like I have a lisp the whole time. And that was our first video, and it went to a million hits on YouTube within 2 weeks. It was so exciting for us, and we didn't quite know what to do with it, but ultimately we found a lot more inspiration in the political world and just trying to make fun of it. But we write a lot of comedy songs that aren't political as well. But boy, we seem to be getting one a week. One or two a week right now because it's rife. The app, right?
Did you guys actually make a CD?
We have an old CD called Tastefully Raunchy.
Actually, we just recorded in early March. We just recorded a new CD, which actually has a lot of political songs on it. And it's going to be released at the end of May.
Hopefully the end of May, beginning of June. We're going to call it Unprecedented, you know, the way it's spelled wrong, Unprecedented, as our fearless leader posts things on Twitter. So.
Well, can we do a song?
Sure. We'll start with this. We'll start with our biggest hit here. It's got about close to 7 million hits on social media. So, let's go for it. Tall and orange and rich and tubby, the boy from Mar-a-Lago goes walking, and when he passes, each one he passes goes, asshole, blowhard,
windbag,
spending millions each vacation. He laughs as he rips off the nation, and when he passes, each one he passes goes.
You cut Meals on Wheels, healthcare,
PBS, NEA, pussy grabber, tiny hands. Oh, and I watch him so madly. How can I tell him I loathe him? Yes, while he's dining on lobster. And Melania stays in NYC. The bill comes not to him but me. How much money is he making from presidential golf vacationing at his own Mar-a-Lago by the sea? Oh, is he running the country? How can I tell if he's working? Yes, I would vote to impeach him. But each day when I walk to D.C., I can't find him. He's at the sea. If he works, no one will ever know, 'cause he's holed up in Mar-a-Lago, laughing at his own government money tree.
Screech hand gobshite.
He's living free.
Windbag.
And charging me.
Fascist.
Down by the sea.
Oh, God. I love it. So, in case you all didn't know, depending on how old you are, that's a parody of Girl from Ipanema. So, let's go into the next song. And do you want to tell us a little bit about the next song?
Absolutely. Get some water. This is just, basically, I'm making fun of Ivanka. And her rather strange relationship with her father and his very strange dependency on his daughter and her rather out of touch way of looking at the world and saying she relates and writing a book about that. So anyway, this is a parody on My Heart Belongs to Daddy by Cole Porter. When Jared tries to wear red ties or drive me in his new Bugatti, he might be cute in his Armani suit, but my heart belongs to Daddy. You may decline my dress design, you may think my handbags are fatty, but Chinese patterns are where it's at, since my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy in a weird sort of creepy-ish way. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Daddy all day. More important than his caddy, 'cause I translate all the big words and I whisper to my daddy, Daddy dear, let's bomb Muslims and Kurds. My Nordstrom's line was oh so fine. I even had skirts that were plaidy. And Chinese kids won all my work bids, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. I will defend him till the end while sitting on his chubby lappy. I'll make a mint and hide his dementia. My heart belongs to Pappy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be mad when he starts to fiddle fatty with the rights that all humans have had. And I want to warn you, laddie, that I think he now mustn't fail. I really need my daddy, 'cause my husband is going to jail.
Oh my God. I have to mute myself because I'm laughing so hard. All right, guys, in case you didn't get it so far, this is not pro-Trump, okay? Okay. So how did you guys meet?
Oh, well, should I let you do this first? Or
go for it.
Well, I taught in a school district actually in Northern California and taught music and headed the music department. And we were looking for a new elementary school music teacher. And we put out an ad, and Sandy showed up. And it was for kindergarten through third grade. And I saw her resume from New York, and I saw her sparkle, and I thought she was just perfect. And I said, hire her.
So he was my boss, and now I'm his boss. No, just kidding.
Talk about God bringing you something incredible to your door. How romantic is that? Come on. And, you know, if I wish you guys could see this couple. And if you go on my Facebook page, there's a picture of them. You know, Roger, you're very handsome. But, Sandy, you are absolutely downright gorgeous.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you very much. I'm 52. I'm going to put it out there. I love my age, and I'm going to be 52 in June. So,
yeah, 50 is the new 30. I'm 64. That's the new 40.
Yeah. It took Richard and I 9 years to get together, though, so that you know. Like,
we weren't instantly together.
We were not instantly together. We had other lives.
No, first my bubble.
No. It's even better that way. It's more like, you know, you had to wait 9 years to get the good stuff, you know.
That was a long floor, I can't even pronounce it, foreplay, right?
Yeah. And a lot of distance and a lot of, you know, being married to other people that we did not cheat on, by the way. But, you know, like, we were both single. It was like, oh, I always liked you.
Well, wow, you know. All right, let's go into the next song.
All right. Well, this one is an original song. It's not a parody. We wrote this tune, and we were very inspired when Trump was asked by a reporter about how and when he was told about the bombing of Syria, the airport that he bombed, and Trump said, oh, how and when? Well, we were eating this delicious chocolate cake. It was the most beautiful chocolate cake you've ever seen. It was all about the chocolate cake, right? So we thought, okay, that's weird. And then he went ahead to say, and then I heard that we had sent 59 Tomahawk missiles to Iraq, which was not what we bombed. And so, it was Syria. So it was also at the time when he was golfing. Well, I think he still does, but, you know, just golf at Mar-a-Lago with all of our money going to pay for his security at Mar-a-Lago, going right back into his pockets, you know. So we were inspired, a little Marie Antoinette-ish that action was. So here's what we came up with. Chocolate cake and 18 holes help you forget your abysmal poles. But just shout four before you drop that bomb. Chocolate cake and 18 holes help you forget those Russian moles. And blowing up an air base fills one with such calm, even when it's empty. What kind of cake should they bake for me now that we're bombing those Afghani? Next week, let's bomb Germany and take all their cake from their bakery. Oh, cooking chocolate cake at 18 holes help you reach your presidential goals. Just drop a bomb and have a pastry. I say, like I said, I have to mute myself because I laugh so much.
What? How old are your children now? What do your children think of what you do?
You want to start that one? Start with the youngest. Okay, my youngest is 17, and he is a beautiful singer and theater guy, and he thinks it's kind of cool, I guess, but kind of busy with, you know, his own working out what life is all about. And then my 20-year-old, I have two, and Richard has two. My 20-year-old is, he's an aircraft mechanic, but he's a really hardcore hockey player. And he was really the hockey kid that I wrote Hockey Mama for Obama about. And back then he did not care one bit about mommy and stepdad going viral. But now with the Mar-a-Lago song, he got very involved in like scoping out the numbers and crunching and figuring stuff out for us. So he's pretty excited about it. He thinks it's pretty cool. And, you know, so that's great. Those are my two.
Well, my youngest is 26. So this is going to go up in years, Kathy. It's the 26-year-old is a massage therapist and counselor at a camp in Nevada City. And I'm not sure what he thinks about what we're doing. He occasionally go pipe in and say, yeah, that's okay. You know, that's okay, Dad. But the other one actually is a college vice president back east, and he's 50 years old.
I'm older. I'm older than him. A year and a half older than my stepson.
And he and his wife are great supporters of ours. Actually.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're terrific. Anyway,
that's awesome. You know, that's you're even bringing the kids in to the fold, which is sweet. All right,
definite and unique opinions. Trust me, they do. You know, but they're
all individuals.
They're all, but I think they're all sort of, you know, leaning towards the what is happening with this man, Trump. We're definitely seeing the light in that. You know.
I know. It's really, really talk about transparency coming up. And they're even using the words on all the news. Transparency, transparency. Well, yeah, but we want transparency in action.
That's right. Exactly.
So, I mean, he's gone, out of country, and he went to, Saudi Arabia to give a speech on about being a Muslim to Muslims. I mean, I want, and it was written, by Steve Bannon, who's a white supremacist?
Oh,
I mean, you can't write this stuff, you know?
Dystopian, yeah.
And I'm just sitting back with bated breath going, is he there yet? Is it happening? You know, come on, give me news. Yeah, I'm sure the Russians are taking pictures. It'll get out, don't you think?
The next song that we're going to do is about how messed up the government is currently, and how the word kakistocracy has come into our awareness.
Yes, I have never heard of the word except until a couple of days ago. So when I saw that, so explain that word to everybody.
Well, it was coined by a British writer, but it's just using logical Greek, kakis, meaning like the worst, and the stocracy part meaning the government. So it's basically government by the worst people. So a kakistocracy, and as Trump was filling his cabinet, it just was like, you know, there's nobody worse for the EPA than Scott Pruitt, the guy who has let Oklahoma get fracked so badly that they have earthquakes now when they didn't before, and things, you know. So he's basically hiring the worst people to do these jobs as if he wants to just get rid of them, get rid of the departments altogether. And
but that's Steve Bannon's dream. You know, he's behind it. He came out and said right in the beginning, I'm a whatever communist or whatever. And actually, why don't you just say a Nazi? Come on, dude. And, you know, I'm going to destroy everything in the United States. And we all step back and go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then by golly jeepers, he's doing his job.
Yeah.
Well, we're particularly dismayed with Betsy DeVos. I mean, it says educators.
As educators. Yeah.
It's just, oh, sweetie, I'm from Michigan. You know, it's like, oh my God, what in the hell is all that water creating, right? We used to call Michigan the hand of God, but holy crap.
Yeah. Oh, it's, So I was looking at this song today and going, you know, at the end of it, I make a Bannon comment, you know, relating to genocide, because when he first was filling his cabinet with the most racist people, I mean, Jeff Sessions, right? Just a terminal racist. And
Keebler guy?
What?
You mean the little Keebler guy?
Keebler elf, yeah. The Keebler elf, he is, but, you know, he's the one that Coretta Scott King wrote a note, you know, that they wouldn't let Elizabeth Warren read. That was the whole she persisted thing, you know. She was trying to read Coretta Scott King's letter to Congress going, do not let this man become our anything. And they told Elizabeth Warren to sit down, you're out of line, you know, shut up, whatever.
Oh, they just love women, don't they? Yeah. I mean, wow. And what, you know, what boggles me is, where are the wives in all this? What does this make of their wives who not only put up with this bullshit, you know, do they actually agree with them? They go to bed every night and go, oh, yeah, honey, let's be white racist. And oh, my God, it's such a turn on that you're cutting all these people off of their, you know, health care. Oh, baby.
Right. What a turn on. No, I don't know. I hope they're all puking, and you know, but.
Dreaming. We are dreaming. See, this is catchy. Okay.
Shall we do Kakistocracy for you?
Please.
Okay. This is a parody on a song called Personality, which is the music by Jimmy Van Heusen. And it was from a movie, like one of those kind of bad Bob Hope movies back in the 40s. But this song survived, and it's it's got a, you're old enough then to remember Florence Henderson singing, the chicken's got a certain personality. And it's from this is the same song. So if you wonder where you've heard it before, Florence Henderson was singing about Wesson oil. With all her books unread, Betsy DeVos will head the nation's education agency. She bought her way into the Kakistocracy. Scott Pruitt really fracked up Oklahoma, practically destroying it structurally. He'll head the EPA of the Kakistocracy. What is it called if I take unqualified old billionaires, exnullified, and let them run our democracy? You'll see. Kakistocracy. Old Mr. Sessions' fight to keep his voters white has had the KKK on his settee. A white supremacist's part of the Kakistocracy. And oily oil execs, one by the name of Rex, will head Department of State naturally. Big oil's the biggest part of the Kakistocracy. While Hillary got the axe for courting Goldman Sachs, Steve Mnuchin heads up the Treasury. Now, Goldman Sachs is part of the Kakistocracy. Rick Perry, dancing star, can't recall, you see, his own Department of Energy. And should someone rebuke him, nuke him. With Bannon by Don's side, watch out for genocide. We've seen this all before in history. When Kaka comes to power, Kakistocracy. Kakistocracy.
So what is your writing process? Do you have to carry a notebook around with you now when jot down ideas everywhere you go?
Kind of. We have our phones, our iPhones, so we can do, you know, memo, voice memos or whatever. But, yeah, a lot of times the process is I'm just reading the news of the day, and I get an idea and get, usually I'm a little furious about something. And I'll either think of a parody that it goes with, and then that's a piece of cake for Richard. He just, okay, whatever. But four of the songs we're doing tonight are actually original songs. So Richard really writes the music and I write the words, usually. Collaboration on both, but that's the process.
Richard, do you ever write the music first?
Actually, I have done that. And I did it twice, actually, with our last show. And these weren't really funny songs, per se. Because we do have that other side. Have a little more of a serious side, which is art song but also comedy songs that, you know, I might start an idea and say, so I have an idea of text that will go with that. And so we do turn it around at times.
It's just more rare that way. I mean, we have a beautiful love song, but he was just playing the piano in the dark in the living room one night, and I like the Roberta Flack song says, and I said, you have what are you doing? That's amazing. And he was like, well, I'm just making it up. I said, you have to record that so that I can write words to it. So we have a beautiful song called Still I Was Loving You, which you cannot see anywhere because it's not recorded yet. So
I almost asked you to sing it. Or Outlook,
Microsoft Office. You know, we have to dig up the music, and right now we have our living room set up for this.
I know, my bad. All right, let's go to the next song.
Okay. Oh, this is so get out there and close that sale. You know, Trump made it kind of publicly known that he wanted to ride, when he visits England, he wants to ride in the golden carriage. And the golden carriage is for royalty only. And it's also a huge security risk because it's open. So, you know, it's better to just show up in an armored car and so that the entire
Isn't it the dream of every 7-year-old to ride in a golden royal carriage?
Well, he's 7, isn't he?
I think he's mentally 7.
Yes. I think 7 is about right. Yeah.
Parrot has more, knows more words than he does.
Yes. Did you just say your parrot knows more words than he does?
I did.
There may be a song in that.
You might not remember us, but we met in the 90s. We are members of Generation Y.
I can't wait. I love being
as in
yin yang.
Yo
yo. Excellent. You totally inspired me.
Life moved a little slow.
I had to do the musical Mary Poppins.
Discs were square. Desktop folders had personality. Extra storage space was just a zipper away.
There
is only one social network, but most of your friends died of dysentery.
About requesting the perfect nanny and all the, you know, all the qualities of the perfect nanny. And so that's what this song is parodied from. Dear Queen Elizabeth, I so don't wish to disparage, but don't let him near your carriage. Orange cheeks, no class, fake hair, large ass. He may be sad and disappointed that you've shown him he's not God's anointed. He's a loose cannon, he'll start wars. Best kept outdoors. Never let that daft fool sit on your upholstery. He'll drool. If you put the napkins posh out, you don't know praise or tolerate him, he will finally see that we all hate him. He might show his tax return so we can see he's not paying Russia for hookers to pee. Help us, Queenie. Many thanks, sincerely. Two-thirds of the USA.
I love it. Oh, you are making my night. And I hope everybody else, you're enjoying all these songs, because I certainly am. How often do you write non-political songs?
It's probably half and half, I think.
Yeah. Well, we do get busy with our own teaching schedules, and some of this goes in the back burner. But you know, the ones that are really pertinent are the political ones. And you know, I've come home on occasion from a day of teaching, and Sandy will have something ready for me to play. Not only play, but the video record.
Lights and camera, honey, sit down. Gotta get this one tonight because it's so. Timely,
yeah. I think we put even more thought though into things that we think are going to last, like love songs and comedy songs. It takes more time.
It does, actually, yeah, because the political ones, you just have to crank them out because the news changes so fast. It becomes, the song has the shelf life of a Kardashian marriage or something. You know, it's really, really short. So we can do an entire show and not touch politics. And it's mostly songs about like aging together and just we have a song called When Your CPAP Blows Into My Ear, Dear, you know, things like that. So we have a whole show that's non-political, but this year we're getting booked to do the political, because it's just like there's a huge resistance and we need to encourage the resistance. So that's what we're doing.
And it's so much easier to do it when there's humor. I mean, I love watching the comedy shows now because not only do they tell it like it really is, but they give it to you with humor and, yes. You know, a spoonful of sugar. except in this case, it's like, give me the cake. Okay, I want the whole cake.
I just want to eat the whole cake. That's right. Yeah, we have gotten, it's interesting because the trolls come out in force on Facebook. And they say things like, you know, I can't believe how disrespectful you're being of the president. And I'm like, at what point did this man earn any respect in his life? Everything I see is just bankruptcies, lawsuits, and sexual assault, and racism, and horrible, horrible character traits. So, we wrote a song called Disrespectful. It's an original song, and it's basically to our critics who say, how can you be so disrespectful of the president, the office? You know, you need to respect the office. And here's our answer. You tell us we are being disrespectful. You tell us, oh, that we should be ashamed, that the office of the president is sacred. So therefore, all our comments should be tamed. So, what part of pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic, xenophobic, mostly illiterate bully are we supposed to respect? Pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic, xenophobic, mostly illiterate bully are we supposed to respect? Just what part of this man's character deserves presidential veneration? If you could point out one virtue, I would shout hooray, and so would well over half the nation.
Who voted for Hillary?
Pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic, xenophobic, mostly illiterate bully. Now we're supposed to respect. Pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic, xenophobic, mostly illiterate bully. Are we supposed to respect? You can say he won. Get over it. But that's not the point of our oath. I guarantee we're not gonna stay quiet while baby Huey holds the nuclear codes. And he's a pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic, xenophobic, mostly illiterate bully. Now we're supposed to respect. I wasn't crazy about George Bush, but I'd take him back in a heartbeat. Cause that pussy-grabbing, narcissistic, Twitter-addicted, nepotistic bully, we can never respect. Not on your life.
Yeah, I could just see all the past presidents sitting back and going, oh, and they thought I was bad. Oh,
right.
Oh.
On the back now. I wasn't as bad as nobody.
Did you have voice training?
I have a lot of voice training. I have the opera, and I went to Manhattan School of Music and got my master's in opera there, in a school called Converse College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So spent 4 years there and did vocal training there, yeah. And then Richard is a piano
performance at Oberlin College and Yale School of Music.
Were articulating those words so well, and I'm thinking, I don't even think I can pronounce those words.
It is like an exercise in dexterity. You know, actors have to do. Well, you're a journalist. You probably know a few voice warm-ups to get your voice going.
If I told you what I did to warm up to get going, and no, I'm not going to online. Sorry, guys.
A shot of whiskey. Something like that.
All right, let's go to the next song. If you're up, if your voice is ready.
Yes, it is. Me. This one is, we're going to take a little break from Trump. Yay. And this one, my family lives in North Carolina. And so there are those transgender bathroom laws, which they rolled back a little bit, but not really. There's still terrible protections. There are no protections for people who are transgender using the bathrooms at their high schools and stuff like that. So anyway, and in public. So we wrote a song wondering out loud, how do they plan to enforce these laws? Brand new true blue hoo-hoo inspector in the beautiful state of old North Carolina. If you come in here to pee, and I think the she's a he, I'll just have to make sure you really do have a giant birth certificate. I'm a brand new true blue hoo-hoo inspector, watching you every time you go to the can. See, I gotta check your fanny to make sure you're not a tranny. Oh, excuse me, Miss Ann Coulter, I thought you were a man. It's all to keep perversion at bay, to prevent depravity, to keep the perverts away. I get to check your cavity. Oh, God, I love this job. I'm a brand new true blue hoo-hoo inspector, and I need to know if you hail from Mars or Venus. Gotta take a little peek at your God-given physique. Sir, I really do need to see with some speed your pieces of identification. Hey, lady, what's your story? Oh, I didn't recognize you in that wig, Pat McCrory. But thanks for the job, cause nothing could be finer than to pee in Carolina every morning.
my God, that is so funny. And that's an original song, you guys. I want one of your CDs.
Oh, yes, coming out. It will be soon. We have, most of our music is on Bandcamp. So it's sandyandrichardriccardi.bandcamp.com, or you can just go to bandcamp.com and put in Sandy and Richard Riccardi. That's with two C's. And a lot of our music is already available on there, but we have this album coming out, which has only, I think, five political songs, but it's our big recent hits. And then we have all the other comedy as well, which it's actually kind of, even when we write a regular comedy song, it's subversive. You know, you can tell that we are people who stand up for human rights and LGBTQI rights. And, you know, you can hear that in most of our comedy songs anyway. So, hopefully Unprecedented is the album we're working on.
Well, I can't wait till it's out. All right, let's get to the next song because I really can't wait to hear this one.
Okay. Well, this is the, we wrote this right after the election. So sometime between the election and the inauguration. And anyway, well, we can talk about it afterwards. Let's just sing it. I think this is the sense of panic that set in at midnight that night. Oh, I have a different song lined up. I'm sorry. I just introduced the Xanax song. Let's do the Xanax song, and I'll back up to the other one. I'm sorry. Okay. Call up my doctor. I'm gonna need a ton of pharmaceuticals. Fill my prescriptions before I bite my nails down to the cuticles. Ow! For I need a little Xanax right this very minute. Mild antidepressants can't put a dent in it. Yes, I need a little Xanax right this very minute. Oh, doctor dear, now don't be hesitant now that Donald Trump is president. All my anxiety, bump up the serotonin and endorphins, please break up my schnookus. It's time we medicate that orange demon away. For we need a little Xanax right this very minute. Nothing stops the panics. We're just living in it. Yes, we need a little Xanax right this very minute. We need a little Xanax now. Tried all the naturals. I tried some mushroom tea and peyote again. Lavender essence. I just thank God that marijuana is legal here now. But I need a little Xanax, something more exotic. Pass the OxyContin, made a small narcotic. Yes, I need a little morphine. Should I take up heroin? Never have felt so dejected. What an asshole we elected. This is abysmal. This was the worst election I have ever seen. More Pepto-Bismol. It's time to get those knots out of my stomach, please, now. For I need a little Maalox, need another Rolaid, pass the Alka-Seltzer, or some deadly nightshade, and we need some artificial happy ever after. We need a lot of Xanax.
Okay. It's so true, though. It's like, and they wonder why opiates went up. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, well, we are discovering the good ways to live through this. It's writing satire and watching satire, drinking wine and meditating, and you know that's good. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you say you do a lot of public engagement. So how can people find you so they could see you in person?
Our website is, you want to say it?
Sure. Our website is www.partyricarti. It's partyriccardi.com. And our full calendar is on there, calendar of engagements coming up over the next year. And past months as well. Also links to our recordings, I think, as well.
Yeah, and actually the Bandcamp link is right there. Mm-hmm. So if you, and then we, okay, Facebook is like our life. We love our Facebook group. and we have like 34,000 fans right now, and we're just, that's just amazing. And so I constantly try to keep everybody entertained with not just our own songs, but other people's songs. We have a friend, Roy Zimmerman, and we have Lauren Mayer, and we have a lot of friends that do comedy. Randy Rainbow, he's not our personal friend, but he's amazing. And so we that's where you can find us most, is on Facebook, Sandy and Richard Riccardi, two C's.
What else is on? It's on the website is our travel plan too, which we travel east every summer, and we're going to be in New York again. And this will be the fifth time, in the Metropolitan Room in New York City, as well as Germano's Cabaret in Baltimore and two other spots. And
we're going to be in North Carolina at the White Horse. So that's all in August. So August 9th is the Metropolitan Room. August 11th or 12th, you have to check Germano's Baltimore. And then somewhere the next week or two in Black Mountain, North Carolina.
So you don't travel when you teach?
Yes.
Generally not. I mean, we'll occasionally go.
Colorado.
Actually, we are going to be in Colorado again. This is Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll be at the Bob Le Theater, and that's October 20th.
It's like the 18th or something. I don't know.
Sorry.
Check it out. If you're near Denver, check out our website. We have to check our website just to know where we're supposed to be that day. So we will be near Denver in October. And probably Mendocino, California. And then we're going to be in San Francisco July 1st at the Society Cabaret, which is a beautiful cabaret in San Francisco, which is just hop, skip, and a jump from us. So we'll just be trucking down there. So, July 1st.
Very cool. So let's do the one that we skipped.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, this is a Cole Porter parody. And it was the first song that we wrote
for Donald
J. Trump. Yes. Yeah, we give Richard an opportunity to play a little jazz too, which is nice. So, you've the wrong skin and the wrong face, though your race adores me, they're the wrong race. They're not my race, but such a different race that it's all white with me. You have brown eyes, eat the wrong game. You have way too many vowels in your long name. Not like my name. My name's a lovely name, Trump, so it's all white with me. You're rapists, you're addicts, you're hard to respect, and most likely you're terrorists too. Your people are trying so hard to reject. Don't you want to reject somebody too? You pray strange prayers, wear a head sway. Though your faith is charming, it's the wrong faith. It's not my faith, but such a scary faith that it's all white with me. The wrong sort, and I'll make them pay for it too. huge. No more tired, huddled masses seeking refuge. I don't get news, so therefore, out with yous, and our country will be free. 'Cause I'm clan-like, and it's all right with me. Richard McCartney, ladies and gentlemen.
That was really lovely, Richard. You can play for me anytime. I'd have to ask you both a question. Do you still work at the same school?
Oh, no, not at all. Let's see. I was pregnant with my second child after working there for 2 years. So I it didn't pay well enough, boss.
Sorry.
So I left the public school teaching for a while and then came back to it later in a different place.
Okay. Do you either one of you get any kind of flack for your political views?
Let's see. We had the couple walk out of our show once.
That's true. Kind of, it was after the Hoo Hoo Inspector song. This couple walked out. It was weird.
What about? I mean, from school, from where you work.
Not so much. You know.
Yeah. I'm actually in a retirement job from public school teaching, and I'm at Sonoma State University. And I had just nothing but support there, really, really. I mean, you know, my colleagues and my students all follow our YouTubes and follow our Facebook. They're all fans of ours and just love what we do.
I think they're just really happy to have Richard there because he is like a staff accompanist, and so he's they probably don't come down on him very hard, but we're in such liberal territory. It's such a blessing. It's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're hoping that California really leads the charge for universal health care and stuff. I mean, Northern California is a lot like that. There's plenty of places in Southern California and inland a little bit that are a lot more conservative than that. They don't want that. But but we are surrounded by progressives here. And so, and I'm not teaching in the public school system anymore anyway. So I just teach from home. So if they don't like,
you
can quit.
All right, let's do the last song.
This one we wrote before. This one was during the election, but it didn't get to be a big hit until Rosie O'Donnell loved it, and so it's kind of weird. We've kept it. This is the third life of this song. So here we go. It's original. Give the white supremacist a nod. Tell the Christian right that you found God. Take away the women's rights we've had for 50 years. Hang out with the Ku Klux Klan that crucify the queers. Build a wall to keep the foreigners out. Tell a Californian there's no drought. That leaves one thing more before we're through. One little thing from me for you to do. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. I'd never vote for you. Not if you were the last man standing. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. Your winning days are through. Your ass to you we will be handing. Live out the businesses you've sold. Leave your wives before they get too old. Go grab them by the pussy, then pretend it's not a crime. Clearly you're a pervert and your heart is full of slime. Talk of women like they're pigs and whores. State they're only useful on all fours. Hire Russian hookers for their pee. But here's one little thing to do for me. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. I'd never vote for you. Not if you were the last man standing. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. Your winning days are through. Your ass to you we will be handing. I'll try to be succincter, but your mouth looks like a sphincter. Your squinty eyes reveal to me narcissistic personality. Your tiny sausage fingers are too small to hold your fat cigar. How nice a so-called billionaire would take away Obamacare. Tell McCain he's not a war hero. After all, why not? You didn't go. Tell me how you plan to keep the press from telling facts. Tell me how you won the election without Russian hacks. Flush the grand old party down the drain. Have a romance with Vladimir Putin. Summon all the bigots in the country from their caves. Is this the way a president behaves? Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. I'd never vote for you. Not if you were the last man standing. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. Your winning days are through. Your ass to you, we will be handing. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. I'd never vote for you. Not if you were the last man standing. Kiss my rump, Donald Trump. Your winning days are through. Your ass to you, we will be handing. Your ass to you, we will be handing. Your ass to you, we will be handing.
Oh my God, that was brilliant.
That's it.
I hope somebody sends Donald Trump the show. He will love it. It is so bigly huge.
Thank you. We think it was probably, people are saying, the best show there ever was.
Absolutely. Forever and ever. I have to thank you guys. You'll have to come back. Promise me you'll come back on the show again. All right.
We'd love to, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
I've had such a great time. This is like one of my favorite shows ever.
Do you need us to do one more to finish out, or are we good?
Would you like to just end the show by doing the song, and that should take us off air?
Do you know Unfriend Me off the top of your head? Let's see. This is one, this is not political, but yet it is. You'll know why in a second. So we lost a lot of Facebook friends over the last election. So we wrote a song teaching people how to properly unfriend somebody. It's a short song. Unfriend me. Just click the little box that says unfriend me. Don't worry what I think, just please unfriend me. Don't troll my timeline. I get it. Don't agree with what I said, I get it. But calling me bad names means you don't get it. Just block me, that's fine. You like all my pictures of little kitties. But no! Opinions twist your titties. Unfriend me. Just click the little link that says unfriend me. Don't worry what I think. Just please unfriend me and show some applause. Just unfriend me. It won't offend me. You know that you'll always be my mom.
Oh my God, I love it. Oh, you guys are awesome. Everybody have a wonderful week. Thank you, Sandy and Richard.
You're
so awesome. Much.
Thank you.
You've made my week.
Oh, so glad. It's good because I woke you up too early this morning.
Oh, that's all right. You're so forgiven. Yeah, they did wake me up at 5:30, but hey, I'm an early riser here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I wasn't grouchy, right?
Nope.
You were a sweetheart. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you guys again. Everyone, have a lovely week, and I hope it's filled with laughter. Aloha.